Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On a red Friday in Kansas City, don't forget you can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long. Kick it off with this Week 7 matchup between the Las Vegas Raiders and, of course, the Kansas City Chiefs. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We're about 20 minutes away from the trash of the day, and we're about 30 minutes away from hearing from Chris Jones and some of his comments regards to Mike Pinnell. But this time of the week, we always welcome in Josh Briscoe, pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. The rare noon kickoff for you, Josh. You'll be on 3 hours before kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan. Good morning.
Good morning, and a morning is how you say it. The sun is up, the sun's still moving in an upwards trajectory, and I'm going to be doing radio? That's bizarre, fellas. I have to sit 7 or 8 alarms just to get ready for this at 11 every day.
I don't know Friday. On your stance here. It is egregious. It is still this warm outside. I'm over it.
Well, Sunday's going to be 60s.
Can I get some fall weather, please? No.
Cody, you've come to the right place. I am furious. I have been wearing almost exclusively tank tops around my house for the last, 6 months.
It's almost Halloween.
We've had a couple of like annoyingly warm Halloweens where like you can't even plan your costume. He's like, well, I might be pitting out through this onesie I was planning on wearing. It's going to be 80 degrees. No, I hate it. This exact sort of realm of weather is a beautiful thing as you're turning the corner from spring into summer and we all get a little life back in our bones. But I know what's going to happen now. It's going to be 80, 82, 85, 40, 42, 45, and we're gonna skip fall, and I'm gonna be furious because fall is in fact my favorite weather season, no doubt.
Good news though, again, I think Sunday is gonna be the perfect football fall day, man. It's like 65 degrees for a noon kick. It's gonna be great out at Arrowhead. We were talking about the Raiders, and of course, if they were healthy, you had Bowers to worry about with Jinty and Jacoby Myers. They're gonna be missing some of these guys. What do you make of the Raiders, who have a quarterback that leads the league in interceptions?
All of my off-season opinions of all of the things that I didn't do like a deep dive into, but I kind of had a hunch about, I don't think I've been more wrong than anything other than the Las Vegas Raiders this season. I just thought that there would be a sort of floor raising with an adult at head coach and an adult at quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I hold out a little bit of optimism for Geno Smith because I don't think, I hope that what he's doing with the Raiders right now, this I guess has been the case for several players over the course of their history. I hope what he's doing with the Raiders right now doesn't wash away the resurgence that we saw in Seattle for him, because I think that's legit. I think that player is still in there. I don't know if it's the offensive line, if it's losing the weapons, if it's him feeling like he's pressing and trying to do too much, but there is still a dangerous version of Geno Smith, but unfortunately for the team he plays for, he's been more dangerous to the Raiders than he has been to their opponents. You mentioned Brock Bowers and Jacoby Myers. Those would be the next two guys you talk about, and again, right now, they haven't practiced yet this week. I don't know exactly how the Raiders are going to navigate, you know, if a guy can practice a little bit on Friday, is he open for the game? We'll see how Pete Carroll would want to handle that, but right now, it looks like it's a pretty thin team, pretty shorthanded, and even with Jinty He's an excellent football player. He will have a couple of nice plays. He can make you pay. And look, the NFL has been so weird this year that I have no interest in being like, yep, no, this game's over. Go ahead and just put it in the win column for the Chiefs, loss column for the Raiders. I'm not there. Obviously, the Chiefs can't be there. But even with Ginty, the Chiefs have done a really, really good job against Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, Travis Etienne, David Montgomery, and Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, they I think I may have skipped over somebody in there. Cam Scadabo, if you want to bring him into the mix.
Sure.
Like they have done such a nice job of corralling the sort of star of the offense running backs. And I think that with no other real threats in this offense right now, I think that they're going to do an okay job corralling Janty.
Will everyone this weekend indeed eat, right? Will we see a distribution of work across there? Or is it going to be Rashee Rice gets 11 targets, Travis Kelce gets 7, and everyone else gets 2?
I do think, in particular, because it is the first game back for Rashee Rice, I think it makes plenty of sense if he plays 60, 70% of the snaps. It wouldn't surprise me, I suppose, if they said, hey, bud, welcome back. We got the Bills in a couple of weeks, and we're just going to go ahead and get you ramped up because you're the freshest legs on the field right now. So I really could see it going either way, but I think it makes some sense to just try to bring him into the rotation again. And there's enough depth everywhere else in the wide receiver room that you don't feel like you have to have him as much as possible. But I really do think the impact is going to be evident. I think it's going to be evident from game one. I think it's going to be a loud return for Rashee Rice, if not just on Sunday at noon, over these next few weeks. I think in 3 or 4 weeks, maybe it's a big game in primetime against the Commanders. Maybe it's in that game against Buffalo. I think Rashee Rice is going to rightfully become a real national conversation topic of, oh, bleep, the Chiefs were down. We had a chance. They got to 3-3, and then they brought back a guy who's going to make a significant, significant difference.
Josh Briscoe joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him 3 hours before kickoff and also after the game right here when the Chiefs take on the Raiders. Left tackle, how good do you feel about Jalen Moore? We know he's going to play on Sunday. Josh Simmons not with the team right now. So Moore looked good against the Lions. He was potentially going to be their starter if they couldn't draft Josh Simmons anyway. How do you feel about that moving forward if, let me emphasize if, it's going to be a while?
Yeah, so two prongs of it for me is, one, just like, how did Jalen Moore play and how do we expect him to play? I thought he played pretty darn well against the Lions, and this is obviously another huge test with Max Crosby. And there is a difference between being a guy who got all the reps as a starter in practice that week and, of course, being a guy that the opposing defense is planning for all week. So Max Crosby has been scouting for Jalen Moore in a way that Aiden Hutchinson wasn't last week. So there is an escalation in the challenge there for him. But if you'll give me the diatribe, I've said this a bunch. I said this, I think, on postgame. I've talked about this like 5 or 6 times this week. I'm going to talk about it again on pregame, and I still don't think that's going to be enough. I am just so overwhelmingly appreciative of the way that Jalen Moore has handled his last 6 months, because when he signed with this team, I guess March, 7 months, when he signed with this team, you have to believe that he at least expected to have the opportunity to win that left tackle job, to spend this 2-year deal protecting the blind side of Patrick Mahomes and the best, highest profile offense in the sport, highest profile team. And so either the Chiefs extend him if he has a good year this year, or he hits free agency in a couple years, or whatever it may be. So that's got to be the headspace he's coming in with. And then they draft Josh Simmons. They go, okay, well, he's coming off a knee, so we'll see where he ends up. Well, Josh Simmons is healthy. Okay, well, maybe I can compete with him in training camp and one of us will win the job. I can have the rookie sit for, well, Josh Simmons is healthy and good and getting every snap at left tackle. And now Jalen Moore's getting some second team snaps at left tackle. He got some run at right tackle with the first team before Juwan Taylor came back. Then Taylor came back. Then we're all asking, well, what if Kingsley's a problem at left guard? Can Juwan Taylor, can Jalen Moore play guard in a pinch if necessary? And so he went from a guy who I think had to be telling his friends and family, I just signed for a whole bunch of money to protect Patrick Mahomes' blind side, to now being, with all due respect to this guy, being Mike Caliendo in terms of like the sixth lineman, or Andrew Wiley, to go back a little bit, from a guy who can play outside inside. And again, Jalen Moore has been compensated very well for that. His professionalism, his ability has earned him that money, and he held that line against the Lions on Sunday. But I just think it's such an important part of what happened against the Lions. And it's just a rare situation, I think, where Jalen Moore would have every right to have been pouty at some point, to at least be frustrated that he didn't ever really get the chance, honestly, to win that left tackle job. Then his number gets called in week six and he's ready for it. I just was really, really impressed by that.
Back a little bit to Rashee Rice. He's an interesting spot because he played really well his rookie year. Then he had three tremendous games his second year. Been hurt all year, missed the first six games for his own fault. Do you think it's fair to still have questions about how high Rashee Rice will rank amongst great wide receivers in the NFL? Or do you think that's like a known? Because like I still ride in this camp of like, well, I'd still like him to actually prove it for like a stretch of time that exists that's not just three games. And I understand he's a very good wide receiver his rookie year as well, but like to put him in the top 10 or 20 category, I feel like I need to see it for some stretch.
Yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. And I think once you get, look, like there's probably a top three, maybe, where it's just like these guys are in like
Jefferson, Chase, Puka Nakua.
Honestly, hadn't even put Puka in there. Yeah, like JSN's rising through the top 10 and all of that. Like, so there are these guys who are just like semi deity levels of how they're playing right now. And then you have the rest of an incredible top 10 where names are going to come and go. Guy gets a year older, guy takes a step like JSN has. So I don't know where exactly I want to put Rice in the hierarchy of all of that. And I think by any reasonable metric, he does still need to quote unquote prove that he belongs there. I am still willing to project him into that place because of what we have seen specifically in this offense. And now projecting forward, seeing what I think he's going to do in this offense, having him actually get to be, fingers crossed, knock on wood here, the healthy underneath yards after the catch foil to an offense that has figured out how to use Xavier Worthy in the deep and intermediate, Hollywood Brown in the intermediate. Juju's already been doing a lot of that underneath yak work that now becomes Rashee Rice's job. Juju's going to play plenty, and he still should. But and then you have Tyquan Thornton, who still demands that respect going deep downfield. I haven't mentioned Travis Kelce's name yet. I just think the pieces here all really fit together in a very nice way that's going to make it easier than it would be for most for Rashee Rice to come in and really assert himself. I think it's totally okay to have a twinge of skepticism, just wondering like what tier does he get into, but I think in terms of how much it's going to elevate the Chiefs offense, I just think that's going to happen relatively quickly.
The AFC feels wide open at this point, at least when we talk about seeding, and I think it's every division leader right now was not a division champ last year, if I'm not mistaken, with the Patriots now technically in first in the AFC East. And we saw the Steelers go down yesterday. And while they still might win that division and still maybe an 11-win team or whatever, they're the same old Steelers to me. They're not a threat in the conversation. Can they get to an AFC title game? Can they get to a Super Bowl? Where are you at on Pittsburgh?
I've developed a new theory of football after last weekend's action, and it has really rung true last night. In 2025 in the NFL, everybody's the Chargers. And with that,
so
with
like
that
mediocre with some higher end potential. Could you explain what you mean by Chargers?
Yes, yes. High upside, low floor, total chaos is on the table where it just feels like legitimately here, like 20 or 25 teams have the capability of putting together one good high scoring day or one good defensive effort or one stinker. The Atlanta Falcons got shut out by the Carolina Panthers, and then the Panthers looked terrible, and then the Falcons turned around, and then the Panthers may be okay again. The Chargers are, of course, the perfect example of this.
Yes.
The Bengals are hilarious, and I really think you guys need to start getting a little fundraising going to get Drew a Flacco Bengals jersey. I think that's a flag he needs to be able to plant and say that, no, this is where Joe Flacco really hit his stride here with me in Cincinnati.
Well, there might be a quarterback controversy if he rattles off six wins or so. I mean, finally a quarterback in Cincy that can win when their team gives up 31 points, you know?
I mean, look, I think it's nice that the Bengals finally have a Joe under center who they can finally count on. I mean, I just think that's really important. But that really is where I stand now, and where there's just kind of this muck, this mire of all of these teams that are kind of around contention. You have your stinkers. Obviously, the Jets are miserable. The Titans are in a bad place. But if you told me, like, yeah, the Titans fire their coach, and then they put out in a week or two the best game of their season, that kind of thing happens all the time. I think the Chiefs are a thoroughly better football team on offense and defense than the Las Vegas Raiders. But if they play this game 10 times, they're losing at least one of those. It just weird bleep happens. So that is really, I think, where the entire NFL is at. And the way that you rise up those ranks is that you don't shoot yourself in the foot. Maybe your opponent has a better day than you expected, but if you don't have a worse day, then you can probably still go ahead and get out of there with a win. That's the thing that's been the problem with the Bills and with Josh Allen. Okay, well, these have been close. These are games that we could pull out if you get a great Josh Allen play. Maybe you get a pick instead, and it's going the other direction. So I just think we are in a cyclonic NFL season right now. Everything's up in the air. Everything is spinning. And after it all, the 3-3, 500 Kansas City Chiefs seem to be in as good of a position as anybody.
I think that's why everyone nationally, despite there are only two things nationally, either the refs are being paid by Clark Hunt right. in order to keep things status quo. But the other adage was, everyone was ready to be like, I don't care if they're 3-3. That's one of the two best teams in the league. Everyone was ready because I think of what you're saying about the Chargers in the sense they're like, you know what? I know what that defense has done historically, and now they can score again. We have never seen, funny enough, a team that could be led by either, and I still obviously think they're led by offense right now, but for all the years they were led by offense, and now they were led by defense for 2 years in a row. It's like, if there's any possibility that they actually hit both things in the top 10 at the same time, I do think they're an unstoppable juggernaut.
Right, because how many teams in the NFL have a legitimate path to having a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense? Or
it's
even
very
if you
few.
Want to loosen it up, a top 3 offense and a top 15 defense.
DVOA, they're top 6 on defense and top 3, I think, on offense.
That's fascinating, and it's crazy. I think the Jags game really taints the lenses that we're looking through there, because that was such a frustrating defensive effort at the end, and you go, oh man, so many chances here. But again, the offense feels like pretty much fixed now. If we would have just seen the Lions game and said, all right, here's the offense the rest of the season, I'd feel pretty good. And the number one option in this offense for the last 2 years, who has been able to be on the field for a little more than 3 games, he makes his return on Sunday. It's really hard not to be excited. I still have a couple things defensively that I'm keeping an eye on.
I think
the four-man pass rush still has some room to improve. But if the defense is good, if you can lean on Spags games and some Chris Jones takeover snaps, that can be a good enough defense to meet a very good offense that should be hitting its stride here. And I don't know who you're taking over the Chiefs, which again is hilarious considering how this season started.
Sunday, any idea of how the game flow goes? You think this is going to be a lot closer than people think? I know the Chiefs are 11.5 point favorites.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't touch that line with somebody else's money. I don't know if I would love for this to be a game where the Chiefs lead it by, they're up 17-3 early on, and then just kind of hold them at arm's length like little brother that way. Wouldn't surprise me one bit if it's a one-score game until the very end, and then the Chiefs score, and maybe then it's close to the line, or the Raiders have a backdoor cover, whatever it may be. I don't think the Chiefs are going to bring out... here's the thing. This is one of those games where in recent years you'd go, yeah, this is just like kind of a meat and potatoes. Just go out there, play your game, get out and save some fireworks for Buffalo in a couple weeks, Washington, whatever, and just escape healthily. But with Rashee Rice coming back in this game, I do think we are going to see a new wrinkle just because he hasn't been on the field yet. So I think the new stuff will be Rashee Rice. I think he can be an extension of some of the easy stuff, the running game, the yak that way. And then I'd love to see Isaiah Pacheco get into a little bit of a rhythm and just try to let him shorten this game a little bit and get into that rhythm there. You cannot let this turn into some sort of foot race with the Raiders where you're going, oh my goodness, okay, so Geno's found his groove again, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think the Chiefs have enough talent, specifically in the back of that defense. I think this should be a game that they control. I will never say that it's a game they should win comfortably.
Josh Briscoe will be listening 3 hours before kickoff and, of course, after the game as well, right here on 96.5 The Fan. He is the pre- and post-game host for the Chiefs Radio Network. Thanks, man.
Do I have to ask somebody to let me into the building before 9 o'clock?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes.
Not sure.
Yeah, yeah. Cody will be here to help you get in.
Yeah, Cody, if you could just come by and let me in, I'd appreciate it.
I got
it.
Kids. I'm up at 6 no matter what.
There you go. That's Josh Briscoe here. He joins us each and every Friday at 11, and of course before and after each and every Chiefs game.
You guys think Rice? I think I want to see it.
I think he's
over
just
a long. You just think he's just like a.
Oh, so to which part? I don't
to
think
prove
he's
that he's a top 15, 20 wide receiver.
So I think he's top 20, like
You're basing that off of one rookie season and three games last year?
Yes, yes. I think he's top 20. I think he's top 20. Yes.
See, I think I want to see it a little bit. I'm not saying it's not possible,
like
obviously.
Adam Schefter saying he's top 10, yeah, he's got to do a hell of a lot more the rest of the season. Now, internally, I think the Chiefs do view him as that. Like, I don't think that's a lie. Like, I think in the building, Andy Reid, Matt Nagy, Mahomes, they think he is a top 10 receiver. As far as for it to be the consensus, he's got a lot of work to do there. But yeah, I think top 20, absolutely.
I just want to see it. Yeah. Do I think that that's like, if you made me rank him out, I don't think I could in good faith put him there, knowing that all I've seen is like a 950-yard rookie season and three games last year and then over a year since he played football. And so, like, I do kind of want to see how he comes back from the injury, even though he's way past the injury. I'm not that. But just, like, is his explosiveness the same, all this other stuff.
All right, you guys know I like the show Shark Tank. Who doesn't? You like Shark Tank?
I've seen it.
Drew,
a little bit.
You've
seen
Shark Tank.
I saw a clip of
Pete Davidson on it recently.
So I haven't watched the new episodes, but this deals with Shark Tank, and it's a show where if you usually just can't watch one. Like, somehow you get in a marathon with those. It's more so in the summertime for me. Anyway,
sure.
So a Virginia woman says she got $100,000 deal on Shark Tank. Awesome, right? But then her episode never aired. So because of that, she never heard from them again. The creator of How We Host says, I guess that's her thing. You can look up what product this is.
Sure.
How We Host says she made a deal with Barbara Corcoran. If you watch the show, you know who that is. And they went through a months-long due diligence process, which is normal, right? That's part of, there's even a disclaimer on the screen of the TV that says, you know, all deals are not final, yada, yada. After that, her episode never aired and the deal was rescinded. Mark Cuban has said about 20% of pitches they film don't make it to the air, though others claim it could be as high as half. Mark Cuban also estimated that about 30% of the deals shown on TV don't actually happen. A Forbes investigation found that 73% of the participants they polled didn't get the exact deal also that was shown on TV, and 43% of their deal didn't happen after all. Deals can fall through because a shark backs out or the company decides against it, since the offers made on the show are not legally binding, which we all know as we watch that show. It says that, like, if I go on there and you ask me, Cody, and you're Mark Cuban, hey, what's your you know, income and revenue, I should say, the last year, and I tell you a dollar amount, like, I have to prove that to you, and if the numbers don't check out, the deal's not going to happen. So I'm sure that has happened where somebody is incorrect on their numbers, they dive deeper into it, and they realize, yeah, that company's not profitable at all, actually. So this woman, like, to me, it's like, it stinks. You got a $100,000 deal. They didn't air your episode, and then they rescinded the deal. They didn't like the deal anymore. Sorry. Like, they never signed a paper. So.
I mean, I guess if you know that going into it, it stinks, but also...
That's part of the deal,
though.
That's
part of the deal. She runs a shop called How We Host.
And?
As you mentioned. It is a, like, party inspiration company, essentially. So you can buy a custom party inspiration board that has, like, a party theme, custom inspiration board. It's $200. You can buy a just general party guide and how to, like, host different parties. It all looks like it's digital-based party hosting stuff. I don't know, man. Like, some of this is, like, and I know people are always looking for creative ways to do stuff, but, well, if you're like, I'm going to host a Stranger Things finale party, I don't know, just figure it out, I guess. Go to ChatGPT.
People are lazy and don't want to deal with that, though, and they're willing to pay the money to have somebody set it up for them.
I guess it is crazy. That one lady, remember, she gets like $10,000 to, like, name people's kids. So, like, who's to say that this woman couldn't get... Oh, there's a woman who makes a full-time living. She works over in London.
Uh-huh.
Her job is helping name your kid. She gets paid like 10, 20 grand per kid.
What?
And you give the background information about you.
How do I get involved in this
style of name that you're interested in? Well, you know, like,
hang on.
Style, family, background, all this stuff. And she's like, you know,
get out of here.
How do name I get involved this? In this sort of profession?
What a
do you think you'd be good at it?
What a crock of
do you think you could name
what?
A kid? You think you'd name a good kid? What would you name Alex's kid?
No,
I mean, what would Alex's... You know his last name's Gold, so it can't be anything that starts with a G. You can't be anything single syllable,
I mean,
because
could,
then it sounds
it
too short,
double
right?
G.
Can't be Dave Gold. It sounds too quick.
Dave
you gotta,
Gold, no, no.
You gotta, well, that's what I'm asking.
My grandpa was named David, and we called him, it was Dave Gold. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going. Go ahead.
That's
go ahead,
great.
Drew. Out of all names, out of all names you picked,
I could have jumped in anyway. Any name. I chose your grandpa's name. But they named him David Gold.
Correct.
That's got a better flow.
Correct.
I think it's got a better flow.
Correct.
You don't call somebody their first and last name.
Yeah.
It's got to be a longer name, obviously.
How is I think at least two syllables.
People are spending $10,000 for this? What a joke.
I bet. See, what you just said, Cody, I guarantee you is part of this person's thought process. Well, you got a shorter last name. It's got to be two syllables. There's got to be a whole thing that goes along with this.
Also,
like,
she charges up to $30,000.
Oh, this is crap.
She said her business is booming.
$30,000?
Who's for
a name?
Her name is Taylor Humphrey.
Her name's not even that good.
Said she's been fixated on baby names and she can remember. As a little girl, she gave her dolls unique names. She said she goes through a big list, write down names, keeps those things in mind. She said as her followers grew, people began to ask for her service. But yeah, she takes all this background information. You meet for a really long time.
Mm-mm.
Vast majority of her clients do not take the $30,000 VIP package.
VIP?
What's the difference?
I don't know. I'm just saying, she can charge up to that number.
So these parents, when their kid is, 6 years old, are like, what made you come up with my name? Well, we paid someone $30,000 because your parents can't figure it out themselves. Yeah,
she said far more popular is a simple package that allows a $1,500 option, which is just parents get a phone consultation with Humphrey so she can help them decide on the names. That includes things like establishing your personal name aesthetic, the vibe of a given title. Russell gives you names on current consideration, if you like the popularity of names and not popular names, etc.
From the 913, Gold's Kitchen, you name Cody Gold.
I can't get over the fact that people are paying not just a few dollars, paying anyway, but $10,000 to $30,000 for someone else to name your kid. No.
And, you know, in fairness, somebody from the 816 said, and that's how you get Blue Carter with Jay-Z and Beyonce. Maybe they paid up to $30,000.
On something unique, you know?
Or Northwest.
Yeah. That is the trash.
That's a tough spot to be in.
Of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. You want to hear what Chris Jones had to say about Mike Pinnell, who is not on the Chiefs anymore. We'll tell you where he's at and what that actually means.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes, hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com, code FIT.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What's next?
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Chiefs Red Half Hour brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net.
Don't forget, 1 o'clock today, Fan Club Friday. We're back in studio on this Friday, so that means we'll have the full experience thanks to Jay Rieger and Co. A new bourbon cocktail. What do we have to? What's the cocktail today?
Oh, so Gold Rush.
Gold Rush? I like
that's
it already.
Actually, it's going to be Rush Gold is going to be the name of your future child. Rush. Rush, comma, gold, otherwise known as Gold Rush.
What's
your kid's got to be like an extreme sports. He's got to be like a BMX for a profession.
So
or something.
The drink is called Gold Rush. It's using some Rieger bourbon, right?
Yeah, it's got Rieger bourbon, a little bit of lemon juice, and like a honey-based syrup.
Okay, that'll be good. Mackenzie Nelson from 41 will join us in studio for Fan Club Friday at 1 o'clock today. Let's talk some Chiefs football. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. And Chris Jones spoke to the media yesterday. And usually you don't hear a player so vocal about a player that's not with the team anymore. And look, he's showing support for his guy. But he was asked about Mike Pennell because it's been noticeable in run stuffing in particular. Not only Derek Nnadi grading out so poorly on PFF system, but Mike Pennell's playing for Cincinnati. He's doing a nice job there. Here's what Chris Jones had to say.
Everything, and hopefully, life do a full circle and we get my guy back. Mike Pennell is a heck of a locker room guy. So many things I can say about my brother. We got to get my brother back.
For context, the beginning when he says everything, he was asked, what are you missing not having Mike Pennell here? And he says everything. And then you heard the rest of his answer. Like, they're not getting Mike Pennell back. I don't want them giving up a draft asset to bring him back because that'd be two interior defensive linemen that they let go that they would be giving up draft capital for. I don't think that's a good strategy. Also, Cincinnati,
lost last night, they might just
But if you're since, yeah, if they're not going to cut him, I don't think. And they're not going to trade him to Kansas City anyway.
Sometimes
since
veterans,
that third round pick, let's just be egregious. Yeah. Yeah.
You'd be lucky to get a conditional sixth.
Yes.
Here's the thing. Sometimes if a team complete, and he made this comment before Cincinnati had played. Sometimes if teams fall out of it, which Cincinnati still could, but isn't at the moment. Sometimes when teams fall out of it, they'll let the Mike Pennell level veteran be like, hey, I'd like to leave the Suggs. I'd like to leave and go play for a contender, please. And teams normally will cut that person go and let them be free to go find a team. At Mike Pennell's career arc, they'll sometimes just let that man
They got to lose four or five in a row for that to happen. Talking about Cincinnati, obviously.
I thought the bigger or more troubling sign about this is some of this stuff is the leadership part or all these other things is. It's not great because that is definitively, and by the way, I think he's already doing some of this on the sideline. That's definitively calling out the other people on the defensive line. That is calling out Derek Nnadi. That is calling out.
He's got the cachet to do it, though.
Fine. But he has made mistakes this year. This all goes down to the same thing. You get to be the criticizer just as long as you're playing clean football and not screwing things up. And a couple times this year, he's had a few moments. I'm not saying he's not a great player or a future Hall of Famer. He's all those things. But he's got to make sure that he's got these guys on his side, too.
Yeah, I'm not worried
about
playing. That.
And so there's part of me that's just like, I'm not saying but be careful. Because if it's just about Mike Pennell's my boy and I want him back in town and you keep it to that, you're okay. If this is because we need him real bad because our defensive line stinks, you are calling on half the people in that room. And while I think they might eventually make a trade for it anyway, you got to be careful with that dynamic sometimes. That's all.
I hear what you're saying. Yeah, I took a lot of it as he was asked about Mike Pennell, and he's like, yeah, I miss the guy, basically, and they're good friends. But I do think if he knows deep down, if we can see it from the outside, Chris Jones knows it, and the Chiefs know it right now that on the interior defensive line opposite Chris Jones, they're not getting much, and Derek Nnadi's not having a good season. Plain and simple. He's just not. And that's not just because of the PFF grades. We had Nate Taylor in talking about it. Nate has covered this team for a while as well, and he talks to people around the league. The perception is also reality a little bit there. He's not playing well. He's just not. Talking about Derek Nnadi.
Yeah, and again, and this is not Spack's fault, if the only nice thing you can say about it, say something nice about Drew, and you're like, he wears clothes, and you're like, that's just a thing. You're just stating a thing about a person.
Yeah,
that's kind of what essentially I think we got out of Spags, which is well, he stands in his gap. I'm like, Spags? And he knows this, and he can't say something negative. I'm not expecting him to say something negative. It's, if that's the only thing you can say about it, then a lot of things not going well. That is the bare minimum job a defensive lineman can do is he is in the right place. And so they got to be, all I'm saying is it's a little bit interesting, But I also think that this team's not stupid. They probably do know what we know, Gold, which is this team does need defensive line help. They don't get to the quarterback enough. A lot of teams are having this issue in the NFL. They're not alone. Look at last night's game. Steelers couldn't get pressure, and neither could the Bengals. Those two teams dropped 30 on each other for that reason.
A lot of people on the text line, I've seen like four texts about it, saying, hey, you know, this is kind of similar when Chris Jones was saying about Frank Clark, when Frank Clark had left. That's fair. Yeah, and at that point in time, eventually Frank Clark got cut, and then he just didn't have it, right?
Yeah.
He just didn't have it anymore.
But that might be the case. I'm not saying that's the case with Pinnell. I haven't watched him play much this year. But
you mean you're not tracking interior defensive linemen all across the league?
No. I had to go look up earlier because I was like, oh, you know what? I wonder what Turk Wharton's sack numbers are.
What's he doing in Carolina?
So he had 6.5 sacks last year for Kansas City. He has 1 sack in Carolina this year, but he's only played in 2 games. He's injured.
Hurt. Okay.
He's had hamstring and other related injuries. He's only played in 2 games for Carolina. So their big offseason, one of their big offseason signings, and some of this goes back to this. The Chiefs made 2 big offseason signings. One looked like was just sitting on it, right? And Jalen Moore is now going to pay some very serious dividends.
No doubt.
That one is like, well, we don't know what's going on with Josh Simmons. I can tell you right now, Andy Reid's talking today at 1, so is Rashee Rice.
Yeah, we'll
Something tells me later when Andy Reid speaks at 1, we're not going to find anything out more about Josh Simmons. Maybe he'll say he'll be out Sunday. Maybe he'll say they're putting him on the NFI list. Maybe he won't say anything at all. But that Jalen Moore signing is going to pay dividends. The other big offseason signing they made, and this is always the problem, is Christian Fulton, who's also not playing. He was a healthy scratch this previous week.
Yep.
You could have spent $10 million a year, $20 million total, like Christian Fulton money, on a defensive lineman who definitively would be playing. Now, look, you got the depth. If any injury happens in the secondary, similar, not an injury for Simmons, but an absence occurs, you'll be happy you have Christian Fulton. But the two guys they gave the money to right now were backups and not playing, or hurt and not playing, or both in Christian Fulton's case. And one now is, under very unusual circumstances, admittedly. So Christian Fulton's just like kicking it. Feels like they could have spent some of that money on the defensive line.
I think Fulton will eventually play, but it's not anytime soon at this point. As you said, he's been standing right there on the sideline. A lot of it is not practicing enough.
What did they give up for Derek Nottie? They gave up a pick, didn't they?
It was part of the Sky. What they got for Sky Moore with San Francisco, they basically essentially swapped it back over in New York, I think.
That's right. Okay. Well, if it was the trade for Sky Moore, then whatever.
They took that pick and said, here you go, New York. Give us
a conditional seventh round pick in exchange for a conditional sixth round selection is what they traded for Derek Nottie. So.
Yeah, someone also brought up. Don't forget Jeremy Tillery they signed. Yeah, he was another defensive lineman they brought in.
They gave him like a very small deal, didn't they? I thought of that as below Christian Fulton and below Jalen
Moore.
Well,
I think they thought he was going to be somebody, though, that could rotate around.
He signed 1 year, $2 million. Yeah. 1.79. I'm actually
But he's a defensive tackle as well. So if you're,
he was the one that missed the tackle on Trevor Lawrence when he made that crazy run at the end.
That is true.
But it's also just like,
he's got one sack on
that. And I'm not saying Derek Nottie makes a ton of money, but he's a full time starter. Jerry Tillery makes $1.79 million. I'm not going to like come after him every week. Chris Jones, George Karloftis, Charles Omenihue, people they paid real money to. And I'm not saying they didn't pay Charles Omenihue a ton either, but they paid him a lot more than $1.79 million. Those are the players that we're always going to talk more and more and more about.
Oh, nobody's saying that guys are more important. I think it's just that, hey, they have typically had a third guy or at least someone on the interior that has an impact. And right now it feels like they're not getting anybody else to have an impact on the interior. Because, Derek Nottie's only making $1 million this year. I mean, it's
Minnie's making $4 million. Turns out, when you spend all your money, and look, here's the thing. This is how imperfect teams work. You know what they spend all their money on? Offensive line.
Good.
Drafted a first-round left tackle, spent a bunch of money, and they still have to trade Tooney away. But a second-round pick is this, the highest-paid center, the highest-paid guard, the highest-paid right tackle. They put all their resources there, and it's working. Before, they had one of the most expensive defensive lines. Shocker, Gold, it was better. When it was one of the league's most defensive lines. The thing is, it's not a cheap defensive line because Karloftis and Chris Jones are expensive. Now, Karloftis' big money dollar hasn't really kicked in, or big dollar amount hasn't really kicked in yet.
And I still think.
And then they just threw peanuts at the rest of it, and it's showing right now. That's all.
And I still think when Karloftis' number really gets up there, you'll see other guys that get paid, it'll actually be a number. You're like, oh, you know what? That's not too bad.
Nah, his number was okay.
It'll end up being a very good deal for the Kansas City Chiefs here in 2 years. I'm telling you.
People didn't want to hear that out either because he's at the top of the league. He's in the top 5 of pressures, and he's got a good sack total. I'm not worried about. I don't know.
They need interior defensive line help. I mean, I know we all think of edge, but they need some interior defensive line help. Maybe there's a minor move they can make.
They just need it somewhere. Like, I don't care if it's edge or interior. They need help at both. So whichever one you think you can get for the right price is fine with me. Look, he's nowhere near the top of the league in sacks, George Karloftis. That's probably, without looking, Nick Benito. He's got like a million of them, doesn't he? He has 8 sacks.
And he might be the defensive player of the year. Nick Benito's awesome.
He has 8 sacks? Insane. George Karloftis is at 24th at 3.5. So he's a starting caliber, but not high enough, you know? Look at all these other guys in the league. Dorrance Armstrong, man. Former Jayhawk, right? Your boy.
Where's he at these days?
Washington. He's had a really good year. He's had a really, really good year.
5.5 sacks?
Yeah.
Chiefs will see him next Monday night. See him next Monday night.
Yeah, they got Washington. Primetime games. Enjoy the one noon game, by the way, because
I am looking forward to
Kansas
that.
Kansas City's right back into primetime.
I am looking right forward that. To the, and of course, this is so Kramer, who does a lot of our social stuff, he's a Raiders fan. We were joking about that earlier. He's going to cover the game, so I'm going to give him a hard time. We'll send him to the Raiders locker room after the loss.
He'll be happy to.
Yeah, after the loss, he can talk to the losers over there.
I will say, I don't interact with a lot of other fans from different fan bases because we live in Kansas City, so most people are Chiefs fans.
Mm-hmm.
I am sometimes surprised, and Vinny, I think maybe this goes back to what Vinny had said to us a couple weeks ago, which is the delusion of this is our year, this is our week that exists with bad teams, bad franchises, is always kind of shocking to me. Like Kramer, by the time Sunday hits, will fully convince himself, Geno's throwing for 340.
You think he will?
Yes.
Is he that level?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, before the season started, it was this is our year. They got Geno.
Oh, wow.
They're the second best team in the division. I mean, it's just like the delusion of bad fandom is tough. It's a tough place to be because you do always cycle yourself into this.
It's good to have hope, but then it turns into delusion pretty quick.
Yeah. Hope is different than delusion. Delulu, as we learned yesterday.
Delulu.
As we learned yesterday. So, I don't know, man. It's really tough. I'll give Drew credit. He was very confident going into the Steelers game. And they won. So, his team's back to 3-4.
They are. They're definitely back to 3-4.
It was a fun game last night. For a variety of reasons. Anyway, let's get back to the Chiefs here a little bit. It is the Chiefs' red half hour. This game against the Raiders. I mean, look... I don't call for kick someone's ass very often in the sense that I think you should. This is a Raiders team who is simultaneously playing awful football and are injured, don't have enough time. So no Brock Bowers. We can't even be sure if Jakobi Meyer is going to be on the roster by Sunday, let alone healthy. They have, and look, they played a close game with the Bears. They beat the Titans for unexplainable reasons. They beat the Patriots in week one of the NFL season, but week one's a liar. They have largely just been getting their teeth kicked in. I think the Chiefs should join suit. This is going to be one of those games that it's, I'll take the win. I'm not going to like go home and complain about it. This should not be a close game. Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown and Isaiah Pacheco, they should do numbers against the Raiders. This should not be a difficult game. Can it be sometimes? Sure. Am I going to be more critical than we have been in the last couple of years over games that are sometimes close? Yes, because this is a one-sided matchup that should heavily favor Kansas City.
It is the NFL, though, and we just saw now, in particular in these primetime games, it's like the fifth or sixth time where a primetime underdog has won outright. It's a crazy trend. Now, this game's not on primetime on Sunday. It's a noon kickoff, as we know. You can hear the game here on 96.5 The Fan. Geno Smith is going to have to play better than he has at any point this season, though. I mean, he leads the league in interceptions. He's got to be comfortable and not make mistakes for them to have a chance to make this interesting, in my opinion. You know, are the Chiefs going to win by 17 points? No, I'm not predicting that. But Brock Bowers, Jakobi Meyers, you mentioned the two guys there, two best offensive weapons in the passing game. Genty, if you give him some space, he'll get after you. But the Chiefs have handled running backs really, really well, no matter whether it's Barkley or it's Etienne or Jahmyr Gibbs, you name it. They've fared very, very well. And then defensively, that secondary of the Raiders is not good anyway. And then I would also wonder, any secondary heading into this week, how are you going to decide? Kelce, Worthy, Rice, Brown, how are you handling that? You got Mahomes, who's locked in, playing at an MVP level. So I don't know how ugly it gets on Sunday. My guess is it'll be a little closer at halftime than we think it should be. But by the time you get late in the fourth quarter, I don't think you're going to be worried about the game being in jeopardy, if that makes sense.
I think the only way the Raiders win this game is if Max Crosby completely takes it over. Like, he goes up against a backup left tackle. I think it's important to note that about Jalen Moore. They signed him as a potential starter, but the second Josh Simmons got drafted, he took that job and then never relinquished it. So he's going up against a backup left tackle and a right tackle who's on a heater, playing three really solid games in a row, but is by no means a perfect offensive lineman, and still a second-year rookie in Kingsley who is playing really well. That's another guy he'll line up against because they'll line him up in the interior too. So if Max Crosby completely takes over the game and he is just making Patrick Mahomes' life miserable, I could see this game being closer than I feel like it should. If that doesn't happen, what is the avenue? How do you let the Raiders get themselves in this game otherwise?
It's where, you know, on a kickoff, you know, a big swing there. You know, Nico Ramihi.
Jinty has a 70-yard touchdown.
Ramihi or Thornton, it sounds like Dave Tobe's going to have Thornton returning kicks a little more, or at least punts, than we've seen now that he's not going to have maybe as much of a workload. It would take a fumble on a kickoff or something like that, and the Raiders get the ball at your 10-yard line and boom. It's kind of like that Christmas game. It would be stuff like that where you're just like, what? You got to be kidding
me.
That
game was a comedy of errors.
It would have to be stuff like that. And that happens in the NFL. That, to me, with the way the Chiefs are trending, I know this would typically be a letdown spot. Primetime. Now it's a noon kick and the Raiders. The fact that Rashee Rice is back is why I actually am confident that you will get still the top level of not only effort, but focus, whatever you want to say. That you would maybe be concerned about otherwise with a lesser opponent.
Because they're going to be excited Rice coming. Yeah, they've been wearing t-shirts, talking about it for weeks. They're all...
They've been waiting, man.
It's kind of in weird taste a little, admittedly, but for the internal part of it, they're very excited.
They've been waiting for this moment to have this wide receiver room together. And Mahomes is clearly excited about it. I know Matt Nagy is excited about it as well. He spoke early in the week. Like, that's why I'm not worried about they're going to overlook the Raiders. No. They're not overlooking the Raiders. They, to me, will have their max attention.
If they were 5-1 and Rice had come back last week, I'd kind of agree.
Yeah.
Rice is coming back for the first time in well over a year.
Yes.
They've been wearing free Rashee shirts. He's putting out hype videos. They're talking about, he's at the podium today. Like, all of that stuff existing in a world where I think that they're going... I think it's an ass-kicking.
913-5...
I don't say that very often on the air.
586-7965. This is the perfect example of the text line. Two texts I want to read you. One, hate to break it to you guys. Raiders are not winning. Morning show, all predicted 20-point win. None of us said the Raiders were winning. Then... The other one, this is Christmas Day game all over again. Everyone expecting a massacre. Then they're going to be disappointed by your made-up standards. Okay. All right. By the way, if the Chiefs win by 6, I won't be disappointed.
Someone also said that they don't think that they don't want the Chiefs to stomp the Raiders because they think Max Crosby will be available if
I don't think
the
they're
Chiefs
trading Crosby
stomp
no matter what happens. I don't think Pete Carroll will let that happen.
I certainly don't think he's trading him to the Chiefs.
They're saying they don't want Max Crosby to get traded to
like the
Buffalo
Colts
or something.
I will say, if there's a team that tries to make a big swing on defense, it's definitely Buffalo. Or a wide receiver.
They need an outside receiver.
Buffalo, they just don't.
Jacoby Myers is going to get traded to the Bills.
Yeah, maybe. Does that move the needle much for you?
No, but it's better.
It's better. It definitely is.
It's better than what they have. Max Crosby, maybe I'm way off here. I'd feel like I'd be stunned if they would trade him. He's under contract for 2 more years. He's under 30. That's still, Pete Carroll didn't take that job to just be tanking every year and stinking.
I see, as of 30 minutes ago, Rashee Rice posted another hype video. He's making it about the injury. He was talking about injured knee.
Well, so, I would hope that's the path.
Although, come on, Rashee. Look.
He's coming back from an injury as well.
No, not that.
What?
Posted this hype video about him coming back. In the video, he's texting while driving. Dude, the car is moving and he's using his phone and he's behind the wheel. Dude.
Yeah, not the smartest thing. Not a huge deal, but also
not a great look, but whatever. Like, I'm not going to make it the end of the world or anything, but like, here you go. You can see in just a second.
Oh, it's all about the surgery. Yeah. Oh, then he's.
Come on, man.
Is he texting or is he just selecting a song real quick? He looked like he was bobbing his head.
I don't know.
Whatever.
He's got his phone in his
hand. I understand what you're saying. I also don't think it matters, but I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying, like, sometimes it's just, you know.
I understand.
Think it through. That's
the optics. I get it.
I am not saying it's a huge deal, but it's just like, come on, man. But I do think for all those reasons that we mentioned, the Chiefs will be excited and ready to play on Sunday. And again, I can't end if, like, the Raiders are shorthanded in addition to that. Their best offensive player has been unavailable for a month. Ashton Jeanty is the only, I would say, truly dangerous player. Maybe Jakobi Meyer play. Jakobi Meyer is a nice player. He can do some effective things. He can certainly get open. But the Chiefs, if it's your number one, you'd mention the running back goal. That's the other part where their defense has done a nice job. When going up against top receivers this year, those haven't been the guys to beat them very regularly. Like last night, we were watching that Steelers game. I couldn't believe that at some point the Steelers made no adjustment in the coverage of Ja'Marr Chase. They just kept doing man coverage. Let him get 16 catches. The final catch he made in the game, he was open by 30 yards. I'm like, at least this is the thing I would knock on Tomlin in that game in particular, not in every game. Spags won't let someone beat him like that very often. We're just like, if Jakobi Meyers got 14 catches and they got to make a stop to win the game, it's not, someone else might make the catch, but I don't think it's going to be Jakobi Meyer on an underneath route open by 30 yards very often. That's what still stood out about the only game this year in which the Chiefs looked completely unlike the Chiefs, as in gave themselves no chance to win, looked off in every category defensively, was that first game against the Chargers when they just let Quentin Johnson run wherever and they were blowing
Ladd McConkey. I mean,
that
was just an abysmal defensive effort, though.
Yeah, a little bit different, at least on that end.
You open up Pandora's box, and you open up, people are not happy with you.
Why? Because I said that he shouldn't be.
You open up Pandora's box with that one.
I just said he shouldn't be texting while driving.
Someone said you're dry snitching, Cody. You're dry snitching off of a hype video.
It just stood out. I'm not even the only person to notice it. I was watching the hype video because I saw that it came out, and then I happened to notice it. That's all. Don't worry. He'll be available on Sunday, and I think he's going to have a big game. So do you.
I do. I think he's getting the first catch of the game. Opening drive, first 15 scripted, target right away.
What can you get for first catch of the game?
I do not know. Okay. I do not know. But keep an eye on those lines. I like the opportunity there. It's either going to be a little 5-yard slant with some yards after the catch, hopefully, or it's going to just be a little bubble screen out there, some version of it. Heck, it might even be a little touch pass, a little jet touch pass to Rice immediately. Something like that right away.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending. We'll talk more about this Chiefs-Raiders rivalry, then some golden locks, and I think we're going to have some issues with our Circa Million picks this week. That's next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever. You can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H 2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.